I first ask you both a personal question, your birth dates.
No, November, February 1st, 1917.
Okay.
God bless me for many years. 1917.
You said
16. No, I said 17. I never remember. He blessed me so many, all many years, and I shall not ashamed of that, saying my age now.
Mm-hmm. Mr. James?
March 1st, 1916.
Yeah, I may take some notes because I'm not sure how well the tape recorder will pick up because we're kind of spread out a little bit. And where were you born?
In Savannah.
In Savannah. And you also?
Right on down 41st Street.
Mm-hmm. Were either of you born in the Charity Hospital? What became called Charity?
I
think most people were in that time, weren't they?
Yes.
Were you also born over in that neighborhood?
Yes, I was born on
Center
Street. No. Bismarck, isn't it? No, we weren't on Center Street. I was Center Street as a kid, but
Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, we moved when I was a little, coming up school age, around about 5 years old. We moved to 35th Lane. See, Doc, we used to live, Doc Belcher was right there on the corner, but we lived right around this, that used to be, they did tear down all those houses now, but that's where we were living, 35th Lane. Mm-hmm. All along that end, it was kept beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school at 5 years, when I was 5 at St. Mary's school.
You know, before we go any further, do you mind if I make sure we're getting any sound on this machine? I'll check it and make sure it's picking up, because you're both kind of far away. Okay. Yeah, before you start telling me about your school experiences, do you remember what your neighbors were like on 35th Lane,
very nice.
They did for a living, and
well, now most of them they worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, my mother did a lot of washing and ironing during those days.
So she, how many brothers and sisters did
I
you
have? One brother and one sister.
And of course, your dad died when you were very young, so your mom took in washing. And how about some of your other neighbors right there on that block?
Well, I tell you, most of them is dead. Just, you know, that was living around there in that block. No, most of them is dead because the Cleveland, which is Nadine Cleveland, mother, she died about 3 or 4 years ago. My mother's dead too. So, Miss Lowe used to live right down in that same block. She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
All of them's dead.
That lady used to live on the corner. She still lives
well,
right on the corner. Yeah. She still right on the corner.
But when you were a child there, you remember what these neighbors were doing for a living and what it was like being a neighbor there.
But one of them used to keep the cemetery. Miss Lowe used to keep the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I can't remember just, you know, what all of them were doing now, that's so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you what my mother was doing. Mm-hmm. Dead, beautiful, raised, and I But the neighbors was lovely to us, everybody in that neighborhood. But years ago during that time, people was kind to one another.
In what ways could you describe how people were kind? Could you give some examples?
I know that because my mother was a widow and all, and they used to always give her things to help her. Now they don't do that.
Just people around, not relatives.
No, just neighbors, you know. Even they, people, then they reach out to help one another, and they help my mother. And all. We were lovely neighbors. Mm-hmm. The Capers and all of our raised up, we came up together from children. Now they all live in Old Benny, New York, most of them. Mm-hmm. One live out there in Liberty City. Mm-hmm. But they was just different. Now, the Hard Bernice Williams, she still lived around there on Harden Street near 37 in a greenhouse. They owned their house because they mothered them. We went to school together during that time.
And Mr. Jones, you were born on 41st Street, did you say? Did you then live there for some time?
Actually, about 15 years. Then we moved to 42nd Street, and we moved to Victor Drive. Mm-hmm. And when I was 19, 20 years old, I got married. Right? But there were 10 of us. Mm-hmm. There was one boy and six girls. Mm-hmm. No,
I was 10.
There were six boys and four girls, but all the girls are living now. Mm-hmm. But, just two of the boys, just me and my brother still living now. Mm-hmm.
And do you have any thoughts about the neighbors on 41st Street? Do you remember what they were like?
They were just like a family. If you didn't have to borrow by locking your door. Mm-hmm. If you go out and wasn't home and your neighbor saw the rain coming up and you had clothes hanging out in the yard, he would go and bring your clothes and put them on the bed. Close the door going out. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to worry about knocking.
So as children in those neighborhoods, I guess you were visiting and playing in other people's houses with your friends.
We knew everybody. Mm-hmm.
What were some of the occupations that some of those neighbors in that block did, if you can recall?
Well, I remember, maybe you may know this young lady. She's a school teacher, Miss Urey. I don't know her last name, Dorothy Urey.
Mrs. Law gave me her number and told me to go try to talk to her.
She's very, at least when we were coming up, she was a very nice person. But I hadn't seen her now in about maybe 40 years or maybe longer. Mm-hmm. But coming up, her and her mother were very nice. Mm-hmm. They used to live down on the corner. And there was another fellow that, his name was Joseph Welcome. He used to work out at the juvenile farm. He had what they call the juvenile farm. Now they call it the youth detention center now. Mm-hmm. But he used to be the youth instructor out at the juvenile farm.
Okay.
And he used to play with us. He'd give us a head start, and he would pick us up before we'd get halfway out the block. He could run that fast.
Uh-huh.
And he used to play with us all the time. So I mean, we had a lot of fun coming up. Mm-hmm. It's not like it is now. We'd have a little fight, but we'd shake hands and it was all over with.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the ways that the adults got together in the neighborhood? Did they ever socialize together, neighbors?
Well, during those days, they didn't do too much of, you know, gathering and going and, you know, socializing like. Well, in other words, they socialize all the time, because when you come out to your door and whatnot, you're talking to your neighbors, mm-hmm. and your neighbors is talking to you, and you being, you know, around them and with the kids. Now, I used to be in and out most of, you know, neighbors' house because they had kids.
Mm-hmm. And the parents all knew each other and knew where their kids were. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that in your neighborhood, most people were, in your block, a lot of people rented their homes there. Is that?
Well, it was tenement houses. It wasn't no home, you know, tenement houses. Mm-hmm. They rent. Mm-hmm. But they kept them up nice. Mm-hmm. During those times, they kept the place nice. And as I say, they would come around, whether you own your own home or not, you had to keep your yard clean.
So there was some kind of city inspector?
Yeah, they would have the city to come around and inspect people's yard and see that they kept, was kept clean. But they don't do it now. Mm-hmm. Some, I tell you the truth, you see some yards and you just wonder how this would stop, you know, going around. And then days, people didn't have no money to pay that kind of money, but they could mm-hmm. fine them if they didn't keep the yard and mm-hmm. things clean around the place. But now, they don't care. I don't see no one going around. No one been to see me since we've been back here.
And,
which I try to keep my place clean. Now, I don't want nobody to have to come tell me how to.
Well, this looks like a lovely neighborhood in through here.
Oh,
most
yes,
people
yes.
doing nice. What they should do.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying I wouldn't want no one. They keep telling me how to rent out. We lived on 36th Street, right across from the Delta. We kept our place, you know, clean. No one ever had to come and tell us. But I'm just saying, they went around and who yards and whatnot, they would, you know, find them.
Mm-hmm.
They would keep the yard clean because nobody then days had $25. Very few people, you know, the people that had money, I guess, and doctors and some lawyers and real estate, well, they could afford to pay, but they kept their place clean. It was a lovely neighborhood, and everybody kept their place clean. The ones that were renting, mm-hmm. or the ones that owned their place and all.
Mm-hmm.
They had no complaints for the tenant, people mm-hmm. that rent, because they kept their place clean.
Mm-hmm. And they were all friendly with each other,
yes,
whether they were a professional or working
right.
class or what.
That's
they
true.
Were. And on 41st Street at that time, were most of the people homeowners?
Yeah,
in
no,
that
no
block?
Houses.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on this side of the street. And over on the other side, it was an open lot. It was about 4 houses down by Farners and about 3 houses up by Barters, but the rest of them were just an open lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now those people, some of them, one of them, two or three of them rented,
mm-hmm.
and just maybe one or two owned the house.
And I failed to ask the occupation of your father or mother.
My father used to work on the city market. That's before they throw it down and make farm on.
Yeah.
And my mother, she didn't work for 10 children.
With 10 children? She worked, but not for a wage.
But you see, then, as soon as one of them about got large enough, we did pitch in, you know, and help with the family.
Do you remember if there were many employees of the Central of Georgia Railroad who lived in that part of town?
Mr. Duncan used to work for the railroad, right?
Duncan. He was a railroad man. Mm-hmm. That was Nurse Duncan's husband.
Okay.
And Mary King's husband.
Thank you. Yeah, but during the years, he wasn't always, but he'd been there for years, though.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been there for about 30 years, 30-some years.
Mm-hmm.
The Hankins, we was friends with them. And then when I got up, we met Mary and I took out the hospitality. I was a hairdresser and I had my shop and everything. I still kept climbing. I didn't.
And, yeah, going before we get to your work as adults, you mentioned, Mr. Jones, that you started doing some chores and earning some little money even when you were young. You described what children did in those days to help their families out.
Well, when I was 10 years old, I would make money running errands and doing different things.
What kind of things would you do?
Clean up the yard and different things, and breaking up the front out there. And I would get maybe a quarter that would last me almost 2 weeks. But a quarter was a lot of money then.
That would be for different neighbors. You would go rake their yards.
When we got up a little bit size that we could kind of take care of myself, my mother, she went to work. She used to work for Sir John Gleason. He was in the cotton business. Mm-hmm. He was a cotton exchange. He was over on East 40th Street. And I used to go over there and rake up the yard and put the sidewalk.
How about girls, young girls? Would they do any little chores, or how would they help?
Well, most of the girls, they had their father, and they was, you know, we was working. When I got up at size, I used to, people that my mother worked for, like if they were going away, going out, I used to go be there and sit with their children, you know, until they come back, and they would bring them back home. And I made money and helped doing that, doing things like that.
And you were fairly young when you started babysitting?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we all used to play and jump rope, play rope and jump rope and all around there with our daughters and all. And I made, you know, money like that to help.
Oh, so your mom did washing for someone right there in the neighborhood?
Oh, no. She washed for Lico Adler's and Levy and those people like that. She was a beautiful laundress.
She didn't work, but
the best that she did, she took in
laundry. Took in laundry.
Mm-hmm. Helped those.
And both of you started school at the Catholic school there, is that right? Mm-hmm. Went there in the first grade?
Yes.
And you too, Mr. James? And let me look at your birthdays. I guess you weren't in the same, quite in the same class, or were you?
No.
About your part. What special memories do you have of first starting school there at the school?
It was all nice. The teachers were nice and was kind and everything because I had a lot of and most of the girls and things that I went to school with, a good bit of them still, you know, living. And we still all went to St. Mary's School and it was joined at the church and they still, some of them are still in the church.
So your mother wasn't a member of the Catholic Church?
No, she was a member of St. Philip. She was a Methodist.
Okay.
I'm the only one Catholic.
My sister
Methodist. She's a Baptist. You know.
But did she go to that Catholic school?
She went to Catholic school. Yeah, they did. Wow.
So no, many children from the neighborhood, whether they were Catholic or not, went to that school.
Yeah, you didn't have to be a Catholic to go to Catholic school. Because I wasn't a Catholic until I got married. But I went to Catholic school, and then I'd say they were very nice. They knew my mother was a good. And two of us paid one day rent free. Because she was, you know.
Do you know why your mother preferred for you to go there instead of the public school?
Well, it was right close at home and everything. Mm-hmm. And she didn't have, you know.
The other would have been up to Kyler, is that?
Yeah, it would have been.
And were nuns teaching you at the time?
Yes.
Because there was a convent there, wasn't there?
Well, no, wasn't a convent.
Not at that time.
At that time. They had some colored nuns used to live upstairs,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yes, during that time, but the white nuns didn't live there.
So the teachers were mostly the white nuns from...
Yeah, the teachers. Yeah, mm-hmm. All the teachers were white.
And was your family Catholic, Mr. Jones? Do you know why they preferred you to go to that Catholic school?
Well, my brother, he joined the Catholic. I don't know how, why and how, but I followed my big brother. He joined the Catholic, so I wanted to be a Catholic. Okay. And my sister, they just followed behind. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we went to the Catholic school. And my mother, she made the Catholic school for me.
It's not unusual. He used to be an old boy.
I was the only one who could speak Latin. Mm-hmm. Could speak Latin. Uh-huh. But what little Latin I could speak. But before we finished school, though, I had to learn Latin. That was one of the
required. Because in those days, the mass was said in Latin, actually, until not that long ago.
Well, you see, when we went to school, it was what they call catechism and Bible history. We had to take that in order to pass.
And that was one of the first studies.
Mm-hmm. And I think twice a week, the priest used to come around and examine you to see just how much of that did you learn. We used to have little sessions. I think wasn't it twice a week the priest used to come?
It was once a week or twice, but he used to come, you know, and give you tests and exams, see how you're doing in school.
And your mother was St. Phillips?
St. Phillips Church in Westport. Yes,
and what religion were your parents?
The most I was Baptist, my mother. But she said she would give us a choice, whatever we wanted. Now, when I was born, my godfather was Reverend William Gray, the pastor of the old St. John's Church. Mm-hmm. My name is William Gray Jones.
Okay, so you're named after your...
I was named after him. The only time I went to the church was when they used to have the parade, and it ended there, and they used to go there and have, you know, just be gone. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I never went into the service.
Well, at what age did you decide that you thought you'd like to become Catholic? Do you remember?
I think I was around 10 years old. I joined Catholic Church in either 1926 or 1926.
Mm-hmm. And that's after you'd been in the school there since the first grade.
The school,
and your older brother had already joined.
But he didn't stay home. He joined it, but he didn't stay. Mm-hmm. The rest of us stayed in the church, but he didn't.
Uh-huh. Do you have any special thoughts of what it was like being a student at that school? With any activities or special teachers that you remember?
I mean, Sister Mary Ivory, we should be one of the teaching was Sister Mary Ivory. All of them was nice, and I take it to it. I enjoyed going to Catholic school because the teachers were nice. Got along with all the children, and we just come along because children, and they didn't know nothing about what these children know now. But they do. We know love, and because the Catholic taught that to us, how to love one another and be kind. But see, they took out all the religious things, the prayers, out to school, and I think that's what the downfall of the school today.
Yeah, because they took it out of all the public schools.
And I think the prayers and you just can't do nothing about it without God.
So then you finished through the sixth grade there? Is that how far?
Eighth grade.
Well, I had to go to St. Benedict to finish up the ninth grade.
I went to college.
Okay. Now, did you meet each other there at the school?
We knew each other at, you know, St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. We were all at the time.
And so after you graduated from St. Mary's, you went to St. Benedict to complete ninth grade? Mm-hmm. And then afterwards?
Let's see, Mary on the went to eighth grade.
That was, okay.
I finished the valedictorian in the
And did you feel when you got to Kyler that you had had a good background, you were able to keep up well in the classes?
Yeah, yeah. But
so
I only went to ninth grade.
That was fairly common at that time, I believe. That was the expected time. And so then you were ready to go to work, I guess. What did you do after you graduated from school?
Well, you know, I worked. I used to work at Zillow. I worked at Lindsay & Morgan, furniture company. That used to be the biggest furniture company in Savannah. And then after I left there, I worked for Mr. Rogers. Actually, we got to go help in his house. And there, I worked there, and then that's when I took up youth culture. Then I opened up my own shop.
Where did you open your shop, Mrs. Jones?
Ported in West Florida. I had a shop there for years.
Did you?
Yes.
So it was...
Oh, I knew when I went to New York, I had the shop there.
So was business pretty good
Very
in that
good.
Area?
Because I had a lot of the teachers. And I had a lot of the nurses because my cousin was over there to Charity and she hospital in that time. I knew a lot of nurses and then a lot of the teachers I did the hair. So then the neighbors all seemed to like me a lot. I had a really good business.
And what was the name of your beauty shop?
Johnny Mae Beauty.
Were you running it single-handedly, or you had some other people working in
well,
there?
Well, no, I just mostly worked, you know, by myself. I did good.
And so how many years?
Customers did, like.
Go ahead.
Customers, and they still, you know, be still friendly and kept up with me all the day. William and William, but she wasn't William and William then. When I used to do her hair, she was Master Stringer. And Miss Council. And now she married me too. And she was teaching school. And she had become principal. We all were still friends. See, but we used to live, she used to live right on 36th Street in one of Miss Hill's houses because she married the boy that Miss Hill raised, her nephew, and that. And when she built her house on Victor Drive, we used to go after I stopped working, and she'd come in, she was teaching, she said, let's go see what's going on at the house. And we'd go out there to watch the house when they, you know, built. And my cousin, by being a nurse, she sent a lot of the nurses. I know a lot of the charity hospital nurses, and they came. And I got a lot of help, and I did a lot of teacher's hair right there in the 40s. The mayor's was there. She's a school teacher.
So a lot of the teachers and nurses lived right in the neighborhood.
Yeah, a lot of them lived there. They moved from Victor Drive on back. And then a lot of people came from the east. Used to come at 42nd Street, used to live all over there, and 40th Street, and all around in that neighborhood.
I think Sadie Mother used to go on East 38th Street.
She used to go, but I had her, she's a school teacher, Miss William and William, she owned William and William funeral home. I had her mother and her sister. Now, her and her sister was teachers. She was a Hardin, she married one of the Hardin boys, one of her sisters, and she was a Stringer at that time. Then she married, you know, Mr. Williams. So I did good.
It sounds like you had a good reputation. People coming from the east side and all
over.
Yes,
I did. Yeah, really good. Really nice.
How many years did you have that business, Mrs. Jones?
How many years? It was quite a few years. I just did. Because when I went to New York, I still kept my shop because I didn't know how I was going to like New York and whatnot. But after I got up there, I did well there. I was drawn in with the people who had plenty of money and been a, and I was, you know.
When did you leave for New York? What year?
About. When I left.
When did you leave Savannah to go
around 51, I'm thinking. I'm 51.
So you still had your shop going. In fact, you kept it even
after
you made
time.
Sure you liked
and
it in there.
Because I went to New York first, my husband came. They stored our furniture in there. Then when my mother moved on 32nd Street, I gave her all the furniture. That's when I know I'm going to come right back. Then I just give up the shop. Mm-hmm. And then she took the furniture. But after I got to New York, I did pretty good there.
So what age were you when you started your beauty shop? About what age?
You got married. You were 19 when you got married, right?
18. You was 19. You wasn't 28 when you had
that. I started the beauty shop not too long after we got married.
So you were very young to be starting your own business, 19, 20 years old?
No, I didn't start it at 20 years old. I was older than that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too old.
In
I
your
started.
20s, anyway.
Yes, I was in my
20s,
yes. Yeah.
You started right after you finished going to the beauty school, not
too
long.
Because me and Mary, we took it together. Mm-hmm. And she lived on 38th Street. We were friends all the way during. We went to school together. Mm-hmm. It was Mary Bernard. Mm-hmm. And she lived on 8th Street, across the Geisha Road.
Okay.
And we graduated the same time out of school.
Mm-hmm. Went on to the beauty school.
We went to school together, graduated together. She was working and she opened up her shop. Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Mr. Jones, after you finished at St. Benedict's? What did you?
Well, I worked in different places. I worked down to a hotel grocery. Mm-hmm. I worked at the dairy.
At the dairy, did you say?
And at the dairy.
Someone else mentioned that milk used to be delivered with horse farts from Anna's Dairy.
Right.
And I didn't ask the gentleman how you spell that name of that dairy.
A-N-N-E-T-T-E.
Oh, Annette's. Annette's Dairy. So they actually kept cows and so forth there?
No, we just load the milk.
Oh, okay.
We did have a dairy farm out on Geisha Road.
Oh, okay. Okay. So did you deliver milk by horse cart?
Yeah. Okay. The horse loaded up.
that's actually this man, oh, maybe you know him, Mr. Woodrow Wallace. You probably know him. He goes to Most Pure Hearted of Mary Church. He's a parishioner. And he told me about this horse. He said this horse just would stop when it was supposed to stop and everything. Here, let me go ahead.
Sometimes we had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to deliver that. And then you sit the damn norm and the horse would get there and stop. Uh-huh. And I didn't get out. And you kind of look back there and wonder what that guy is doing back there. It was kind of hard work, but it was fun too, because if the horse knew the route, you didn't have to worry about that.
And about what year was that you started that job?
That was in the 40s, right? Because I had to leave to go to Columbia to be, examined for the war.
Yeah,
it was in the 40s.
But you was working the Annette there when, when the bell and them used to bring me all that ice cream and I was good.
Is this how he won your heart, bringing you ice cream from the dairy?
No, we were married.
Oh, you were married.
In the 60s. And they used to.
No, Mr. Bull, he used storm in there. John,
it was in 36, somewhere in the 30s.
He, when we were going home, he said, yeah, take this home to you, right?
Mm-hmm. So, what was your route? Did you have a special route that you kept?
The route used to start right there at 41st and Havisham, and went to Victor Drive back to 37th Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was my regular route. But after a few years, I became the assistant to the foreman.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go all over town. If somebody didn't show up, mm-hmm. I had to take them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you stayed with Annette's for some years.
Mm-hmm. I went downtown to the Hotel Broken. That lasted a little while. Then I managed to get a job out at Southern Paytime Roofing Company out on South Avenue. They moved their business now to Alabama, Tennessee. And I stayed there until I went to New York.
You mentioned the war. Were you involved in World
War II? Yeah, I was
turned
down because one of my legs was shorter than the other.
Oh.
I had both my legs broken when I was down.
Okay. And what made you all decide to move to New York?
Well, this Lewis, you know, you heard of Benjamin Lewis and Nadine Lewis. Her mother, she used to always write me and all, and talking about up there. When I first left, I didn't go to New York. I went to Westport, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, it was like a summer job.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady daughter liked me so well that she wanted me to come back to New York with her, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and I worked there a while. Then when I worked on 52nd Place. I got a job there.
With this family?
No, this was another family.
Okay.
S.B. Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he retired when he was 56, but he had all the money. And I worked there for years and years.
So the money must have been superior up there to what you could get here. And that was more opportunity than...
And then on the weekend, I used to do catering work with a lady who had a place in Long Island, and she went all over.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to even do parties for the Rockefellers down there. They live on the Tarrytown.
You know, I was born in Jamaica.
You grew up in New York?
Yeah. But I grew up in Florida. My family went down.
Yeah, Jamaica's nice. Mm-hmm. I have some friends who live out in Flushing now,
mm-hmm.
New York. Still up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I stopped working for her, I worked for the Lipsets.
Mm-hmm.
They had business. They did demolish. And it's like when the Third Avenue, L, these big places like that. And not only in New York, they had it around in different cities, you know, big companies.
In other words, like they tore down the Atomic Bridge, he did that kind of work.
Okay.
Demolition.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they was when I left home, when I left to come here, I was still with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, I went to a publisher. Mm-hmm. He was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
He was working for his father. Then afterwards, he owned, opened up his own business. And his father got out of the business when he was young. Because
mm-hmm.
he was living in that same building.
And did you
drink publisher?
Uh-huh.
So I had good jobs,
mm-hmm.
worked around very good people, you know, people that had money
and paid a decent wage.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to worry about that.
And did you find work? Did
what, my husband?
Yes.
Well, when he came up, the people that I worked with, they was in business. See, he had a business and he had sold his business out. But he had friends. They know a lot of people. My husband never had to look for a job. Because when they got out, he came up, they got him a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working in the garment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he never had to worry because when I retired, they sent him to their friend. in the knowledge of being able to know what it was to say to look for God. And see, my, the people that I was there with, what kind of business they were in.
Mm-hmm.
Good money. And then he sold his business out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's retired, 56 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He lived like a king. They had plenty of money. So I, we, New York was really good to, for us.
And you were there from the 50s until you retired?
Is and the, yes, until you retired.
And then you were drawn to move back to Savannah.
Well, all my family, my mother was here and everything, and I always had planned to come back to Savannah, because I always loved Savannah. And I, when we moved back, she got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And we had owned a two-family house there then. Mm-hmm. So we sold the home and it was moved back there.
Mm-hmm.
But New York was good to us.
Did you think about trying to move over to your old neighborhoods when you moved home? And not at all, because they'd gone down by then.
We went to there looking for how, you know, for a house to buy, but...
At that time, we didn't see anything, you know, that we, like, it just happened to... He loved this. I wanted a different, a bigger house, but then I settled for this. He loved when he saw this, he fell in love with this house, so... satisfied, but it just was the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but you still have
some mix, mm-hmm. you know, but it's nice. Everybody's nice.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbors and all. Yes, there was a lot of white people. Some died. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, because I, some other people have said that there used to be a pretty strong rivalry between people who lived on the west side and the east side.
That's right.
That there was some sense of competition. You sound like you remember that, Mr.
East side and that side. But he knew more about the east side than I did, because working, you know,
right,
I was the west side girl all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think Kyle and Bitch, they used to have a football game over there. They used to call the old Soldiers Field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the boys from college, after the game was over, they better try to get back to the west side, because those guys, and it's the same way if the guys come from the east side out again. If as long as you cross both streets, you would all right.
Mm-hmm.
And in this coastal Forsyth Park, we used to call it the extension park then, before we got that Forsyth. It used to be the extension park.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get to the middle of the extension park, then you would all right. You didn't want to see it from. But they would be the south if they
called
us over there.
And your boys would do the same if the east side boys were there. I guess so. Yeah, I guess
after
it.
Basketball games and this. They used to have a basketball and get football.
Yeah, football on the east side, basketball games over there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm trying to think. Now,
there's the Beach Institute there now. But for a while.
After that, they moved out here on Hoffman. But they moved from Carla over on the east side. Then came from the east side back to the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Because Professor Huber
used to be over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the children from the east side, for a while, they would have to go to school,
yes,
the Kyler school. So. But they probably knew which side of the Bull Street they were from. There's another question about boundaries that I've been asking people and getting some different answers. As far as what you consider the boundaries of the Brownsville neighborhood back in those years, what streets did you consider, you know, were the outer boundaries of the Brownsville neighborhood?
35th, was 37th. I think 37th.
37 going
towards Victor Drive.
Yeah. But now the collar, they treat my collar won't incorporate all of that technology.
No. The ground, they still go collar. Community joined into the ground.
Because a number of people have said that the name Kyler for the community is a recent name, that they've just started
association.
So as far as when you were growing up on 35th Street, say, was there a name for that part of the neighborhood? Did you call it? You didn't call it Brownsville. You didn't say you were from Brownsville, or
but they brought it in from Collin Community and Brownsville came in together. I think really what they named it Collin Community on the account of Collin Speaks Community.
That's what they told me. Yeah. Mrs. Ursuline Law, when I talked to her, she was on that committee that started the association, and she said that's why they chose the name, because people would know it was near that school and know where it was. But some other people have said, well, maybe that area was part of Currytown. Currytown was further north.
Yeah, Currytown was on the other side of Anderson.
Okay.
That's where the YMCA is now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Magnolia Street.
Okay.
I think they got it May Street now. The city lot that used to have the horses and everything was right over there by that school. I can't think of the name of that school now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a school right in front of where they got the project houses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the name of it. It used to be a city lot, and that's where they used to keep the horses and the wagon.
They made
so many changes after we came back. Right. I had to get a map.
Well, they didn't have no name streets like they do now. A lot of name streets back then.
Yeah, they were 34, 35, something like that, but they got all these names.
Different names now that they did.
Well, those projects, were they there when we left? Those projects across Anderson behind the Tyler School?
They were all those built up.
Some people own them and some people rent.
Mm-hmm.
Carver Village was
just starting, I think.
Yeah, it was starting those projects during that time in the city. Because we lived out there. When I left to go to New York, we was living out on Carver Street.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those city projects. Then afterwards, all the other, projects built.
Would you come back for vacation sometimes during the years you were in New York?
I had my mother
and
your family. I never felt like I was complete my stay up there all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want me to come back, even the people I worked with. Since I came home, I had took up the little course geriatric. And now he promised ladies, I want you to take care of me when I came and be with me. So after I come home, she wrote and called me up and she
wants you to come back.
Miss Lipstick, she's still living.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, she does. I had a really good job, big thing down. I never had to worry about it. So I guess that's why I stayed up this time.
And then you found a Catholic church up there that you joined?
Saint Mary's Catholic Church.
I know,
right back from where I was living. Oh. Saint Mary's Catholic Church was up in the Bronx.
Okay.
We got off the train at White Plain Road and 210th Street. And I lived 215, and the church was on 215.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk to Mass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're both members now of St. Mary's.
Yes, we were members of Mary's before we left.
Mm-hmm.
And we just
you felt drawn to go back there, even
well,
though other Catholic
churches are
closed.
St. Mary's and all, and just like when my cousin went in and put the books in, she said, you know, you worked so hard, and you said, Mary, I'm with you in the books, and you said, this is so much, and my name would go down into the book, and the, you know.
Oh, so you kept that connection going.
Let St. Mary go. I kept it. Even when I went up there, John St. Mary, I was loved.
And one other thing I did want to ask you both about the neighborhoods when you were children. Are businesses located in that part of town? Do you remember any stores, shops, other kinds of businesses?
There were mostly grocery stores.
Grocery stores. Because starting at Park Avenue was Robinson. And then, you know, there was the stores, you know, that you buy, dry goods stores like that, the business.
And those were owned both by blacks
black
and
whites.
White.
Yeah, black and white. And everybody got on clients as well as I knew.
Yeah, actually this afternoon I have an interview with one of the daughters of Mr. Warshaw. He had Warshaw.
Benny Warshaw?
Sandra.
Yeah. Benny Warshaw,
yeah.
Right, the Jewish, I think.
Yeah. And
it was right there, 37 in Florence. Mm-hmm. They had a grocery store there.
And did most people do the shopping then right there
in
these local
time,
stores?
Yeah, local stores. And they had stores on Heater Road, Hester,
Goldberg.
And then Goldberg,
We used to go in there sometimes just playing until he chased us out. But he was an old man, he couldn't speak too much English, but he was nice to us kids. He would give us candy and stuff when we go in there. They used to scoop up the rice like this and they had a big old scoop. I don't remember whether you had to carry your own thing to put it in or not.
Maybe so.
No, they always had bags.
I know that he had those bins. I remember that.
Do you remember the name of his shop?
Mr. Sickle. Mm-hmm. He was German. He told me so funny, but he was nice. Mm-hmm.
They had a drugstore on each of those, Dr. Keeper. Between 35th and Klein, right down the street.
Do you remember names of any other businesses in the area? I'm trying to find photographs of some.
Dr. Moore. Brothers on 37th Street.
Dr. Moore.
Yeah,
because I've been trying to locate some old photographs of some of the businesses, the schools, the hospital, and streets in the neighborhood.
The charity hospital went down. I don't know why that.
You know that this building was the Chinese building, and then now, before that, there was another wood building there.
Yeah, well, you don't remember that, right?
Yeah,
I've seen a picture of
it.
Right
there.
Yeah, it
was a wooden building.
Lean like that.
And then they built a brick building.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the brick building wasn't completed till the 1920s sometime, I think.
It was later than that.
30
or something. It was later than that because I got my leg broken in 1931 or 32, and they took me to the old hospital.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you'd ever used the hospital facility.
Well, we had our twins born in the charity hospital, but the brick building was there then. Yeah,
so you have twins?
Yeah, well, they died. They were born a little too early.
And they didn't have
premature. They didn't have incubators and the things in the facility that they had now to take care of children like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nurses used to stay in the wooden building. After they built it, the student nurses used to stay in the wooden building.
So you would have known some of these people through your business.
Nurse Early and Nurse Williams, Nurse Raleigh, and all of them went to that charity hospital.
How do you think? Go ahead.
I don't know now. Nurse Raleigh, she was from Buford. She came from Bluffton, South Carolina. And Nurse Raleigh, she came down when she got her training. She had she was living in Brunswick. But she's dead too now.
Yeah,
I think Williams went to school though, she's dead too. So
yeah, I've been trying to find some of the older nurses
the nurse
who worked Falcon, there.
But she's dead too. They had to run the hospital, and in that time, Nurse Williams, but she lives in Brunswick now, too.
Mm-hmm. And,
Nurse Campbell, she's dead.
Yeah, I'm going to have an interview with a Nurse Horn.
She's still living.
Yeah, I talked
she's
to
on
her.
She lives on Victor Drive, and she lived in the 40s, I know.
Yeah, I have her address. I'm going to go meet with her tomorrow, but I think she's a little hard of hearing now. I have to talk real loud to her in the telephone.
And Savannah Farms down.
Barnesville.
The farm, did you talk to her? Because she had been there for a long time. She owned the Savannah Pharmacy.
What's her last name?
I don't know. It used to be Farnville. I don't know what her daughter named now, whether she got married or not. But her mother and father, it was Farnville. They live on 36, right near that last house.
You're not
going to
check off.
Yeah.
So many people in the community. When we first started, I asked some of the local neighborhood association members what they would like to see done in this little exhibit on the community, and they all mentioned the history of Charity Hospital would be real good to put
back
there at least.
Maybe they could do something. They could have made it a home or something, for the old people that did. Something other than this lid went down.
It's really sad.
This street as a whole, it was beautiful. All 36th Street was really a lovely street.
Yeah, with the red bricks. Was one of the few, I guess you'd call it paved or brick streets in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
right?
37th Street was beautiful too, because it had a lot of tours on
37th
Street.
Yeah, that's what I'm
talking about. 17 came right into
37th
Street. Okay. Came right into 37th Street. And the tourists used to come in there because they didn't have all these other bypasses and everything now.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have a lot of, they got Holiday Inn and Days Inn and all. They didn't have anything like that. They only had the 37th Street, and they would use that, and it would. Beautiful.
They would come in on 37th Street and go up to Montgomery and then go over to Page Street in order to get back out of town.
Okay, that was Route 17. Yeah, someone else had mentioned those tourist homes, and I did find some photographs of them in the Georgia Historical Society there on 37th Street.
Well, you see, you have Abercorn Street and all that, you couldn't go that far. Abercorn Street ended, I think, around 54th Street.
Okay.
And the rest of it were all Grum Store and the Juvenile Farm and Brown Farm and all was out that side.
Mm-hmm.
And people were farming out there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, one street, I think, Habersham went just a bit further because the old car, the trolley used to go up to Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's the name of that place out there? Montgomery Crossroads. The trolley used to go out there.
And this was in what years you're talking about, that the city kind of ended at 54th Street?
That's going way back. I don't know exactly. I could just pinpoint what it is.
Right. But
I remember we Victor Drive used to stop right there at Hopkins.
Okay.
And they had the old ball field out there because I remember seeing Babe Ruth when he came down here one time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they had the racetrack out there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't no, it just a little path you went down.
Mm-hmm.
The street, the city didn't go out too far. Okay? Right now, yeah, that was the end of the city, but now they call that Midtown or Downtown.
I know, I know. It just grew so rapidly, probably since the 50s and 60s,
that's
really.
Right. Yeah, stuff.
After World War II.
All that was out there was broom shorter, you should call it.
Well, nothing like, you know, when I come
farm
back, I'm surprised all with all the malls and how they had built up from that time. But in 51, it was nothing like that when I left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They extended Montgomery Creek when they built a Hunter Field out there.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that establishing Hunter Field and so forth brought people into the area. Also, someone was mentioning on 39th Street from Florence to Ogeechee that that was paved at an early stage,
yeah,
and it was very popular to go
residents, people own their own home too on that street.
And a couple people told me about skating
right,
on that
right,
street
right.
At
we
Christmas time. Was, did
yes,
you do that
by,
as children?
Road. We used to skate down there.
So even when you were children, that was a custom on Christmas
right.
To they closed the street
they
off?
They closed it off, right.
Well, that sounds like a special custom of the neighborhood that's gone by the wayside, too.
Yes, because all out there was all built up beautiful. People had their own homes. And I just was surprised I went down there.
When you came back in 83, was your mother still living over there?
No, my mother was living over on 32nd between between Whittaker and Bull.
Okay, so she left that.
Yes, you know.
Bonnet.
So
do you ever go back and visit any of your old friends who either remain there or who live in other parts of town, people you grew up with? Are you in touch with any of them? Yeah.
All the friends I had when I was a child, I still, the ones that live in,
mm-hmm.
still friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young and when the ones that I met, we still friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you all have any other comments or observations about your childhood neighborhoods?
Is the neighborhood, you know, remained the same. It's no different, you know. Only they let it run down, you know, other than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just went down so much.
I think if I'm not mistaken, a trolley going out to the ballpark, used to go down 45th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a trestle over what they call the Musgrove Creek. Mm-hmm. We used to go down there and swim. Skinny dip.
Uh-huh. As boys.
That creek still runs now. If you're familiar with it now, it's right behind the Central of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You see that creek that goes?
Yes.
And that's what that's part of the Musgrove Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It comes all the way from somewhere out here and goes right into Savannah River.
Mm-hmm.
We swim underneath that trestle.
I'm sure it was cleaner water back in those
it
days.
It wasn't
that clean?
It wasn't that clean.
It was wet, though,
right?
On a hot summer day. Well, I certainly appreciate you all taking some time to reminisce and think back to those times and share your thoughts on those neighborhoods. Would you say that you thought there was anything, say, special or unique about the Brownsville neighborhood that made it different from other parts of the city during your childhood there?
people was nice. The only thing I could do, they used to keep the place up. It was really nice. It was clean. You could walk the streets. It was lovely then to live in that part of the town, because over on that side, it really was nice.
Would you say it was nicer than some other neighborhoods of town at that time? Or
Brownsville was really nice. It was really nice. People had the beautiful homes, and it kept them at the doctor and everything like that. It was a quiet neighborhood, and people, they had collected. It just wasn't no rowdiness or nothing. They were really intelligent and everything. Intelligent, I know a lot of them didn't have, but it just was a nice,
nice atmosphere.
Better than it is now.
Mm-hmm. It used to be right there on Harden Street.
Between 39th and 40th. But it's over here on 37th Street now.
Yes, someone else had mentioned that the church moved out of there. They still call themselves Brownsville
Baptist Church.
I wonder when they moved. I should maybe call the Reverend and ask him a little bit about when they moved.
It used to be right there on 40th Street and Harden Street.
On between 39th and 40th. Mm-hmm. And they still kept their name. When they moved over here, they still Brownsville Baptist Church.
I guess they
love the name of it. They want to change. They just want to change it.
And it's House of Prayer. It used to be around on 34th Street before it moved on Beecher Road. But we used to call that Bismarck Street. It was 34th Street, but they used to call it Bismarck.
Okay.
That's when he'd have any Bishop Creed or Natty Creed. Mm-hmm. He'd have the tent. And I think that new dance was the Charles that just came on, and he used to have that music, and we used to go there through the Charles.
At Daddy Grace's tent?
Well, he would dance, and we were supposed to be shouting. We were supposed to be shouting.
You were getting the good music. Well, I guess someone said he actually only visited about once a year. So you remember well his arrival in town, and then they'd have a big tent set up on Bismarck 34, Street, 34.
They built this place out on Victor Drive.
Now there's a place on Ogeechee Road that says House of Prayer on it.
Yeah, House of Prayer there, but it's home. He built it on Victor Drive.
Oh, he did?
Between Hopkins and, Hopkins? Right into Bishop Grace's property. Mm-hmm. All that over there, across Victor Drive on Satellite, is Bishop Grace home.
Do you ride Victor Drive going to Long Beach Road sometimes?
Yes,
you
I do.
You see a big red and white and blue house? It's just on that side of the street after you cross that, after you pass that light going toward the beach road.
Okay.
Right behind the school.
Okay.
That house right there is a mansion. It's a big house. I don't know whether anybody lives in it now or not.
But that was Bishop Grace. He would stay there when he came to town and live there at some point.
And then my friend is, I know where I told you when we went to beauty school together. When I came back, she had kind of the first black Park and Tree Commission woman, Mayor Fenoy. Mm-hmm.
That's your friend. She went on to become the first
black Park and Tree Commission.
Parking.
Was on the board here.
Oh, that's...
And they had it, and then she also organized Garden Club, Black Garden Club. Mm-hmm. Right here, they got it charted and everything.
So she did. Did she also move out of that neighborhood?
No, she lived on 38th, across the Geechee Road. Mm-hmm. It's still. Mm-hmm.
So she became a real community activist.
Yes, she did. And they have the Garden Center. Mm-hmm. right there on the Beach Road on 39th Street. Mm-hmm. Had two blocks of that city, you know.
Do you think she would be willing to do one of these interviews?
Well, no,
or she's not well?
Would. No, she's not well.
Yeah. That's
the only reason why she would.
So you're still in good touch with her?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still in
for lifelong
friends.
That's wonderful. Any other comments or thoughts before I turn this thing off and
that's about everything, you know, covered everything that I did.
Well, I really appreciate, well, I'll close turn that off.